Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, you are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, Bob, we lost that summer-like weather, and we got the burst of fall that came in the middle of the week, and man, I'm digging it. It's bow season, and I was at bow camp last week, and we just couldn't get motivated with 75 and rainy. You know, it was just a little more comfortable in the pole barn watching football and drinking and eating. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. You listen to the Grilling Guys. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop, and welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. It's the smokiest show on the radio. We're glad you tuned in. We're here every week. The station you're listening to has a lot of class, and that's why they play us.
Right.
But we want to talk to you this week about fall grilling on open flames. And Jop just mentioned his deer camp in a pole barn. Mine was in the woods the first few days by myself because the boys that were coming up with me no-showed because they heard me bellyaching in my texts about all the rain.
Right.
So I had some good quality me time. I got to do a lot of work on deer camp, and by the time one son showed up, I got to make him some nice stew, and I'll tell you real quickly how I made that. I bought a bag of these little bitty potatoes.
Right.
And I brought some organic carrots up because I like to get those. And I pulled a chunk of brisket out of the freezer. I bought a big jug of beef broth and brought a couple Spanish onions. I threw all that in the...
No, don't. I can't remember what you used to cook with. You put me on the spot, Bob. Well, I got it. It was a Dutch oven. Yeah, that's
and,
it.
Oh, my gosh. And then I brought a couple packs of gravy mix. So if you want something easy at camp... This was all
packaged. Is
that packaged.
The powdered stuff or the wet stuff?
Yeah, the packaged stuff. All right. And so by the time that thing cooked for about 40 minutes, just get the potatoes. And these little potatoes are beautiful.
Right.
Potatoes and carrots soft. I mean, the brisket was already done. It added a nice little smoky flavor.
Yeah.
And wow. That's an easy way to go deer camp.
Right. Well, I had a little bit of fun. I got a couple good stories that are relevant to grilling guys. Well, I go down to deer camp with a bunch of my high school buddies, and it's beer camp. I'm just be honest. I didn't even bring a weapon. I knew we weren't going to be hunting. It was going to be 70-something degrees.
Even a pistol?
I did, but we didn't get them out because it rained. The whole damn weekend it rained. I was down there from Friday to Sunday, and I don't think it let up but about 2 hours. But anyway, so we moved deer camp into my buddy Tim Pruden. He's got a wonderful farm down there, and he's got a big pole barn. It's more like a man cave. It's heated. It's got TVs. It's got a bathroom in it. And we sat around in a circle and called each other names for 2 days. But while I'm down there on Friday, I'm prepping for all these guys that are going to be coming down. And I'm making jalapeno poppers, right? I'm cutting them in half. I'm taking the seeds and the membrane out. I got a wastebasket right between my legs. I'm throwing the stuff in there and putting them on the tray. Well, I did 36 peppers, cut them in half. I'm going to stuff some of them with this smoked salmon dip that I made, and it was fabulous, right? And we can get into that a little bit later in the show, but I had a tub of smoked salmon dip, and Tim's like, ooh, smoked salmon dip. So I had some crackers there, so I reach over and I grab a cracker, and I put some of that salmon dip with a knife on the cracker, and I hand it to him, and he takes the first bite. You know, you're always kind of anxious when you've made something. You want to see what a guy thinks of it, and he's like, he gets this look on his face. He's like, holy crap, that's hot. And I'm like, hot? What the hell you mean hot? And he's like, that thing is hot. Well, what I did is I had that oil from all the peppers that were on my gloves, and I didn't change gloves, so it got all over the cracker. And when I handed it to him, it lit him up like crazy. And he's not a guy that likes hot things at all. And he was trying to be polite, but the look on his face was precious because he... Oh, God. You had to be there, but you really didn't.
You mentioned something that is a real luxury. You have a heated bathroom.
Right. Oh, yeah.
We have an outhouse that Big Ted built us. Oh. And I don't think
you didn't move that, did you?
Yes.
Did you really?
Yeah, when we moved the camp, of course, we moved the outhouse, dug a night. I had the boys up, so they dug, and my post hole digger, so they dug to China on this pit. So we'll not be filling up in the next year or two. But bless his heart, he built us a nice sheet metal. It's brown. It blends in nicely. But he didn't really get his dimensions very down pat.
Got some air leaks?
No. you can't shut the door.
Oh.
When your knees are sticking out.
Oh.
So you have to get used to going number two with the door open. So knowing that.
Hopefully that doesn't face the north.
Nope, it's facing south. So you can get a tan. But knowing that, this time I put it in a much more, let's say, diplomatic location.
I see. So south isn't facing the fire pit?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And I made the mistake of going to the Hawkins Glass Bar. I don't know what they call it now, but like the first night there or second night there, I'm by myself. I don't want to cook. And it's 5 miles to there. And
right.
They have pretty good food. It's an old bar. But they have a good...
You didn't go on up to the Chase Smokehouse.
I was close, but I didn't. I knew I'd have a couple beers, and I wanted to shorten my drive.
Right.
And I got the burrito with extra jalapenos. So the next morning, let me tell you, that outhouse got to work out.
Yeah.
Yeah, doubly so.
It wasn't cold in there anymore.
Yeah. Funny. There's more to that story, but yeah. I won't bore you with it.
So the hit of the weekend, and this is crazy because you cook a lot of things, and I brought way too much food, as you always do. But the hit of the weekend, we've talked about those bacon explosions.
Done them.
But, yep. Yeah, hundreds of them. And I made a couple of those with Sobeys. Parkside kielbasa for the meat. Oh, they're a huge hit. But the hit of the weekend was, this is super simple, so listen up. It's a three-ingredient deal. I made stovetop stuffing, whatever flavor you like. We chose turkey, right? So just one box of stovetop stuffing, put it in a bag, took it with me. It was all pre-made the day before. I had a turkey breast, just one of those young hen turkey breasts that I bought frozen.
Beautiful.
Thawed it out. When I thawed it out, I cut half the breast off and made turkey jerky out of it. Just put a little marinade together and threw it on the smoker because it was hot. But the other side, I cut off there, laid it out, and pounded it out with the bottom of a mushroom jar, right? I just was beating it till it got thin. That was the only tool I had. And I took some of that stuffing, put it on that turkey breast, wrapped it up, and then put my bacon weave, right, over the top. And I used heavy or thick bacon and put that in the smoker.
Now stop. You used thick bacon for your weave.
I did.
How did that work?
It worked great because I wanted to make sure that the turkey was done, and poultry takes a little
longer.
So
you wanted the bacon to take longer.
Right, and not be burned.
That's a good point.
So
But it wove together okay.
Oh, yeah.
You got it managed because it's sometimes a little tougher to work with.
Right, and the tip there was is I let it get almost to room temperature, and I can stretch it then, and it tightens up.
Okay.
So anyway, when that thing came off, it was wonderful. You take a slice of that, and you had the bacon and the turkey around it and the stuffing in the middle, and it was all hot. Oh, man.
So did you grill it or smoke it?
I smoked it. For about 2 hours, I brought it to 160 in the center, which is way overdone because the turkey is only like a quarter inch thick, and it's on near the surface, right, because the stuffing's in the middle.
Right.
But I just stick that probe in there.
Want to be safe. It's foul.
Right.
So how was the bacon when you were done?
Crispy.
Really?
Yeah, because I was running the smoker at about 250.
Okay.
So it cooked it down.
Nice.
And that's nice. The beauty of those things is they've gelled together, right? When you take those off, that
welded.
Bacon has welded itself together. You take it off, it's really cool on the board.
That must have looked
great.
Before
you cut it. Yeah, exactly. Then you take that first slice and you see the jelly roll.
So the guys were pretty excited when you walked in with that.
Yeah.
The legend lives on.
Right, yeah, right. Well, I don't know about that.
You'll be invited back next year.
We ate good. And, the guys all generously chipped in and to help with the food costs.
I want a little disclaimer here, too. That's great job. Last week, we played a best of. And I had my old high school buddy, childhood friend, William Stradoff, on. And he owns Hillhoff Dairy.
Right.
And they are the first organic dairy in Michigan. Well, they had a recall on their milk only because some paperwork on some certification for a couple of days.
Yeah.
So if you heard it was recalled, it wasn't anything to do with the milk. It was strictly a bureaucratic snafu.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, we're going to sharpen your skewer a little bit. Stick with us. We'll be back. Slinging mud and dirt and grass. I got your number. I got
your back's against the wall. You mess with one man, you got a soul. The boys are fall.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Beer City, USA.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center. Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We're in mid-October. Barbecue Bob, I turned 55 yesterday. I'm at the speed limit, dude.
And I missed it.
I got to slow down a little bit. I'm not the youngster that I used to be, but I still, the head and the heart are there. It's just the body doesn't catch up maybe as much. I don't know. Haven't probably taken good care of that machine as I should have, but I'm good. It's all fun, but it's one of those milestones that you hit, and it's like,
Well, happy belated birthday.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Sorry.
Thanks, but enough about that.
You made another one.
Right.
You know, thinking about your age is funny because this week I thought about mine. I went to a job site we're putting some carrier rooftops on a factory. And one of them's got we're pulling off a bunch of Lennox and putting on carrier, right? So my client that I'm going with is about my age, maybe a little younger, but maybe a little bit more of a portly guy. And he's not going to necessarily be as agile. I still climb trees, right?
Right, yeah.
So I got to get a picture of this rooftop. So I jump up on a 6-foot concrete wall and do the catwalk down this wall.
Ooh.
It's covering up dumpsters, right? So if I fall, I'll at least hit the dumpster lid or the concrete on the other side.
Right, yeah.
But I had to walk over there to get a picture of this rooftop unit and the fancy ductwork that was going into the factory. And I'm standing up there, and the guy's going, "You sure you want to do that?" And I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And then as soon as I stood up and had to walk this, I don't know, 6 or 8 inch concrete cap, I'm thinking, "Are you sure you want to be up here?" So I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I pulled it off without looking like a chicken.
Right, yeah.
I didn't fall.
Right. Your chicken knees were shaking, but no, that's good. But, hey, this is tailgate season as well. And one of the great things that Barbecue Bob and I always do at tailgates is skewers.
Love
because
them.
It's food with a handle,
yep.
Right? And there's a lot of different ways you can do them. We've got a few of them we want to talk about. Pick your poison there, Bob. We've got steak, seafood, veggies.
You know,
what do you like?
And this is coincidental. I'm doing these all tomorrow. My son Jordan is turning 25.
Okay.
And Livia is turning 20.
Oh.
So we're having a joint birthday party tomorrow at the house. And Emily and Matt are coming up from Tennessee with the grandkids. And Emily's a foodie. She's
right.
Turned into quite the chef. So she's sending me the menu.
Ah.
And
wow.
She goes,
how'd that go?
Oh, yeah. And I don't want to disappoint because I want to see those grandbabies.
Right, right, right.
So she sent me a picture of some steak skewers, and I'm like, yeah, it's a great idea, actually. A bunch of skewers.
Right.
And I still have some of these shrimp and scallop skewers, which are really wonderful.
You got them frozen, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're great presentation. I'm sure you'd love them.
Right.
But so the steak skewers I'm going to do in Charlie Jabor's marinade, right?
Right.
Because that's what these kids grew up with. And that's on the Grillin' Guys website. Just look for shish kebab or Charlie Jabor's shish kebab marinade or recipe. And it's great for all kinds of food. You could use it for those turkey breasts you did. You can use it for a bunch of things. But if I have these seafood skewers, what would you do?
With seafood skewers, I don't like a lot of sauce on seafood. Fruit usually goes okay with seafood, a jam or a glaze right at the end after I've got them cooked. I'm not a big marinade guy with seafood because it cooks so quick anyway. And the key to anything, I mean, we say this over and over, is don't overcook it. It goes from really good to rubber bands in a hurry. Most seafood does, your scallops, your shrimp, any of that stuff. So just make sure not to overcook it. You know, it'll tell you when it's done. It's pink. And if I got a marinade on there, I can't see that color maybe as much.
Well,
so I usually glaze at the end is what I usually do.
And I kind of find that like shrimp and scallops both don't take a marinade very well. They're so juicy and fat that there's not
they
like
kind of get punky,
not
or
porous enough to actually absorb anything.
Right.
Whereas beef will suck it up. Pork chops will suck it up.
Right.
Chicken doesn't suck it up so well either unless it's a really long marinade.
Yeah. So I had last year's, I saved these on purpose. I had two full back straps that I took to hunting camp, right? I cooked one of them. This was, by the way, 12 guys, 10 pounds of bacon in 2 days.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I wrapped everything in bacon, right? You can't go wrong. But I did a whole back strap wrapped in bacon, and I laid it out and then folded them over on a diagonal over each other and then trussed it about with butcher twine about 6 or 7 times. Let that just stay on the grill. I used thin bacon on that one because I didn't want the loin overdone, right? But anyway, back to that is where the hell was I going with that? I just had an idea that we were talking about. Oh, the skewers. The other back strap I cut up into chunks. I'd take a little medallion off it, right? Slice down through it, cut it 4 ways, just put an axe across it.
So you cut chops.
So I cut chops. Yeah, and then I cut each one of those chops 4 ways to make my chunks.
Sure.
I did put that in a marinade, and it was a store-bought marinade, and it was a teriyaki-based marinade, a little bit of sweet, a little bit of salt, because that loin is so lean, and then but only for like an hour, because I didn't want it overpowered.
Oh, it'll suck up all the salt.
Right. So I had it in there for an hour and then took it out and made the skewers, and it was fabulous. I bought marinated mushrooms, sweet onion, and bell pepper. And these
perfect.
Chunks. Yeah.
Perfect.
Simple little deal. And
Aren't
I made them ahead.
And those marinated mushrooms are so perfect because then you don't have to try and marinate mushrooms, which is, they float. It's pretty hard to marinate. Yeah. You got to vacuum marinate those.
Yeah, exactly. So, but here's the tip is I made those on Friday afternoon, put them in the refrigerator, and we ate them Saturday afternoon.
Okay.
This is something, if you're going to camp, if you're going to tailgate, skewers are something you can make ahead as long as you keep them to temperature. You're going to be good.
Here's one last marinade. And I did it a couple years ago after I was in Atlantic City and met that guy from Argentina.
Right.
Chimichurri.
Right.
And this is a wonderful, the Bob version of it. It's going to have Old World Olive Company garlic EVO. And this is on our website under chimichurri. 2 teaspoons of kosher salt plus more.
Right.
2 teaspoons freshly ground black pepper. I get that restaurant grind pepper from Gordon Foods. It works great because I don't want to grind 2 teaspoons. 2 pounds of tri-tip, or in this case, I'm going to be using sirloin because I got
wonderful
a half a cow in my freezer.
Wonderful flavor.
Yep. And then a garlic clove, finely grated. 2 cups of chopped cilantro. If you don't like cilantro, you can use parsley. They go both ways on those recipes, or they'll use a cup of each. I like cilantro. And then 1/4 cup of EVO grapefruit balsamic and 2 tablespoons of agave nectar.
World balsamic, not EVO, because it's not oil and balsamic.
Yeah, it's Old World Olive Company
grapefruit balsamic. Right.
And 2 tablespoons of agave nectar instead of the sugar that most recipes call for. And I buy this organic agave nectar.
I've got some in my pantry
fantastic.
As well. It is.
It's fantastic.
It's a great sugar substitute.
Flavor's great.
And it's soluble. You don't have to mix stuff up. You just put it in. It's almost like it's a little bit thinner than honey.
It's like syrup.
Yeah. Yep.
Syrup.
Exactly.
One of the four main foods,
yeah.
According to Elf.
Four main foods, right?
Yeah, one of the four main food groups. Yeah. If you watch Elf.
So vegetable skewers. I did have a couple of the ladies that turned up their nose at venison, right? You're going to have.
Whoa.
At deer camp.
You let the ladies in?
They did. They came Saturday night. I'm telling you, this is beer camp. It's not deer camp, Bob.
Dude.
All the ladies came in and some of them.
That's a big violation.
Right? I understand, but it's not my party. I was just there as the cook, man. But they, vegetable skewers, put anything you like on them. I put a little Italian dressing on them and some seasoning. And
let's just call this
easy.
Class reunion, okay? And don't try and fool people into thinking it's deer camp.
Well,
it's really misrepresenting.
Come on, man. I had rubber boots on and a flannel shirt the whole time.
Yeah, so your class reunion is in a barn. Okay, whatever.
Coming right up, Bob's going to make us some sausage. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
We live it. We love it. Alan Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport. It's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it. We love it. Alan Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the grilling guy show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the middle of October, and we finally got off of this 75-degree weather, and we're waking up to 35s and 40s in the morning and getting my blood pumping for this deer season now. Now I can get excited about getting up in the tree when I'm not sweating on my way walking in. You know what I mean? So this is good. This is good weather for me, and I know it is for you too, Barbecue Bob, because – We both enjoy the bow hunting, and one of the things.
Wait a minute. You enjoy bow hunting? Is that why you were like at a class reunion,
dude? I just told you, the warm weather does nothing for me.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
The warm weather does
nothing
for me.
You know what got me? It was the stinking mosquitoes were killing me.
Yeah, if you're out in a tree swatting mosquitoes,
it was 70 degrees.
Your head, you're not going to see any damn deer anyway. Come on.
So do some goose jerky for us.
Well, what I was going to talk about was sausage, but we can go to jerky first. Goose jerky, I think that is, it's a way to ruin a piece of goose. is my own. I don't enjoy it because
that's shocking.
Because it's goose. It's made out of goose breast.
Yep.
Very lean.
Yep.
You got to marinate the crap out of it,
yep.
And then it's a strong flavor anyway. Where I had an occasion to grill a goose breast, and I butterflied it in about 1-inch thick pieces across the grain in the breast and laid it on there like a steak, took it to medium rare, just about 120 degrees, and that had some marinade on it, and that was much better for me because it was still tender. It didn't dry it out. It tends to get chalky to me when I dry it out, so maybe I'm not doing something
right. I took the liberty of printing out the goose jerky that we have on our website.
Right.
And if you read this, you'll see that I'm recommending you cut those into 1/8-inch strips, yeah. Just like that. So I agree. The way most guys do goose jerky, they like pull these long strands off and you get this great big chunk. It's okay.
Right.
This way is really just like what you're describing, where you cut it across the grain into a very thin strip.
Right.
Now you're marinating very thin strips. There is no strong flavor this way.
Right. And I've just not made it that way because the you know, you'll go to church and one of the guys will have some in his car.
Right.
He's like, hey, come on out. Let me have you give you some of this goose jerky. And I'm like, oh, great. Thank you. No, I'm good. You know, and but you be polite and you take one and you're like, and you don't ever tell him it's good.
Well, and they don't cut the silver skin off very often.
Right.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah, exactly.
And now venison jerky, I don't mind the silver skin.
Right.
But goose jerky, yeah. So this recipe, tell the folks what's in this brine we have on the recipe.
Well, it's on the Grilling Guy's website.
It's
on the Grilling Guy's website. And a lot of brines are sugar, salt, and water, right?
Yep.
So we're going to start with all of that. And usually you do 3 times the sugar that you do for the salt. And if that's that's just a pretty good rule of thumb ratio. Depending on how much you're doing, you know, I'll do
3 parts, 1 part.
3 parts, 1 part.
Yep.
Maybe you do 3 cups of sugar, 1 cup of salt, and 1 gallon of water.
And there's a good point. See, when you're making this brine and you're using that much salt and sugar, you really want to heat the water up and dissolve it.
Right.
But then you have to cool it down because you don't want to brine anything in warm water.
Right.
You want to cool that back down. So what I do... This calls for, I don't know, what's it say in here, how much water. Whatever the water is, I'll cut the water in half when I do my salt and sugar boil.
There you go.
And then I'll put in an equal amount of ice and chill it real quickly.
Right.
And as soon as that ice is dissolved, then I can throw the whole thing in there and throw it in the fridge. So that's just a little technique thing.
Well, that's huge because you don't want your sugar or your salt undissolved in the bottom of your container.
Seen it a million
times.
It's not
doing anything for you.
No.
If it's down there in the bottom.
If you're putting aromatics in, they actually open up nicely in that warm water. And let's say this one has chili powder, black pepper, cayenne, garlic. All those things are going to expand in warm water.
Right.
Whereas if you put them in cold water, I don't think you get the same effect.
No, the flavors, the oils don't loosen up. And
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly right. So anyway, I'm not a big goose jerky guy. I just never had it where it's like, damn, I got to have more of that.
Well, you know, the funny thing is where we deer hunt up on Whipple Lake, I think I told you last week that when I was up there the week before, I was looking at beaver, turkey, geese, wood ducks, and then an eagle flew up to me.
Right. Yeah.
So we're out in the wilderness and it's beautiful, but there's a lot of geese this time of year flying in and off the pond, off the lake, and I'm not the biggest fan of geese either. Like especially when they're around my wife's office, they bother me.
Right.
But I got to be honest, when they're flying over me in my blind and I hear them honking, coming and going, it's magical, man.
Oh, it's a cool thing.
I love hearing those things. And they're so confusing because they just kind of fly back and forth. I'm not quite sure what they're really doing.
Yeah.
But somebody should eat them.
Right.
So now you have a recipe.
Yep. There you go.
And I want to do one about Rob Russell gave us years ago. It's called Herbed Wild Boar Sausage. Now, to be honest, when he and I did the classes on sausage and jerky, we never had wild boar.
Okay.
But this was a recipe he stole from somebody.
Okay.
And I stole from him.
So now you're passing it along.
So and to be honest with you, wild boar is not much different than any hog you're going to eat, in my opinion. The ones I've had a chance to process and cook really tasted like any hog I've ever had.
Okay.
I mean, you can see there's not quite as much fat, and they're a little different, but still, this will work with any kind of – you can use a pound of pork shoulder. You can use 4 pounds of wild boar meat or standard picnics if you don't have boar meat. That time we did that gig and we ran out of boar meat, mm-hmm. we got picnics.
Right.
And it tasted exactly the same. So right. that's why I substituted with picnics here. And a picnic is the lower portion of a front shoulder. When you get a shoulder off of a hog, you get the butt, which is the top cap, and then the lower half is the picnic.
Right.
So, and it's
generally
got
a bone in the picnic most
yes.
of the time.
And
not
well,
could
in
be
the
in
butt,
the shoulder,
in the butt
but
too.
But yeah.
But yeah, you have to bone it before you grind it.
I get it. But right.
So then you got some kosher salt, garlic, thyme, fresh rosemary, some minced sage. And then you're going to have some ice water and white wine. But basically what you got to do is you want to chill the meat until it's almost frozen. You take some of the hog casings and set them in a bowl of very warm water. You do that to soften them up and to rinse them and clean them, right?
So the casings are to put the sausage in.
Yeah,
why did you almost freeze the meat?
Because you're going to chop it and the fat into 1-inch chunks. And it's you want it really, really cold when you're doing the processing because it takes a while and it's going to warm up on you. So you want that meat at like 34 degrees if you can, because by the time you get done doing all this, you still want it in the safety zone, which is 41 degrees.
Okay.
Okay. So you combine the sugar, all this stuff, you mix it together with your hands. And then you put the whole batch through your grinder after you've mixed it really, really well.
Let it set like an hour for those seasonings to open up, or are
nope.
you doing it right away?
Well, you can. I'm normally not that patient.
But, yeah, there's the reason right there, yeah.
But this calls it for a fine texture. I'll use a coarse dye because I like a coarser sausage.
Right.
But then you have to have a stuffer. You add the white wine and water. And then you
after
let
after you've ground it.
Yes.
Right. Mix it in.
Yes. And you put it in the fridge now for about 60 to 90 minutes and let it cool off. Mm-hmm. And then you just stuff it in the casings and then you twist them off when you're done. Mm-hmm. And you can put them back in the fridge for up to a week.
Mm.
Or you
well, there's
can
no
freeze
cure
them.
Or anything in them, though.
Well, there's sea salt and stuff. That's okay. your cure. But no, I don't tend to use the tender quick or anything right. like that.
But cool. Homemade sausage. That recipe's on the Grillin' Guys website as well.
It's called Herbed Wild Boar.
That's thegrillinguys.com. Coming up next, we got a guy named Brad Garrett who has this company that makes these things called grill grates. These are a huge improvement to your grill. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Forget about the world tonight. All that's wrong and all that's right. Lay your head on my shoulder and let it fade.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations. 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites. Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale. Or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering Better Michigan Beer.
Hi, this is Sal Cipriano, CEO of Better Made Snack Foods. Ever wonder why our Better Made potato chips taste so good? They're made with homegrown potatoes from West Michigan farms. So when you're driving to the beach, a festival, or a ballpark, and you pass by those farms, think of Better Made potato chips. Better yet, stop by your favorite grocer or convenience store and pick up a bag for the trip. For nearly 90 years, Better Made Snack Foods are better made.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grillin' Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's S-A-F-F-I-R-E at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com. Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. I hope you have an opportunity to get out in your backyard and fire up a grill or a smoker in this nice fall weather. Makes you want to just eat something good and smoky off that smoker. But anyway, I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Yeah, and you know what, Jop? When I'm at my grill, I like a nice cold Michigan microbrew.
Oh, man. I can't grill with two hands.
It's time of year when you got to change up your game a little bit and maybe start talking about some stouts or some heavier IPAs. But I love grilling, and I'll be grilling all weekend. And there's something for your grill. It's called Grill Grates. It was invented by a man named Brad Garrett. He's been on the show before, and he's on the grilling line right now. Brad, thanks for joining the Grilling Guys.
I appreciate hearing back from you, Bob. And, Bob, it's good to hear from you guys.
Yeah, well, you know, you're on a lot of stations now around Michigan and New Jersey, at least. And, of course, on the Internet, we're streamed and podcasted and all that stuff. So there's people all around the world that can hear about your product. So tell us what you do.
We make an aftermarket cooking surface for basically any grill. You know, and the grate really has never been a part of the food equation. It was really just there to hold it over whatever heat source. We've kind of taken it up a notch, literally. It's a raised rail design with a valley structure, and it really improves how food cooks and how it grills. So we've been very, very fortunate. You know, we caught on with a lot of the enthusiasts and the grilling fanatics. And so Grill Grate today is pretty well known in the fanatical surface, you know, the cook-offs and the KCBS and SCA. But we're still relatively unknown to the mass market. But it's a better grill surface in a simple frame of mind there.
So, Brad, what makes it better?
Well, you know, flavor comes from drippings, not from whether it's charcoal or gas. I mean, let's face it, the only reason people like charcoal is it gets hotter, right? That's what, and you can get a little more of a sear. But really, it's drippings, and when they get superheated, they add a layer of flavor around the outside of the food. It's very similar to smoke. Flavor comes from smoke and drippings. We keep both of those right by the food. I mean, imagine a beautiful drip of a hamburger and it hits in the valley just below the burger. It explodes black into flavor.
It usually hits my shirt.
Yeah.
Right. But anyway, so we accentuate the flavor profile of anything that's grilled. And then we add a lot of versatility, like the valleys are a really nice flavor chamber, if you will. So when I'm doing chicken, I'm oftentimes marinating. And I'm not afraid of creating a fire. We kind of handle that, too. So a lot of extra flavor boost, big sear time opportunities. We create some beautiful sear marks. We like to call them flavor bars. So you get a sear and a sizzle that is not common on pretty much any grill. From a Kamado to an inexpensive tailgating grill, we really up the flavor to a much better level. So that's kind of why it works. It's a raised rail design that captures juices and keeps them with the food for added flavor.
Okay, Brad, so for those of us that we're all on the radio, and for those that haven't seen this before, what is the distance between your raised rails? Am I going to have a problem with stuff falling down between these rails into the valley when I want to flip it or something like that?
No, we're an inch on center, but remember we have a valley structure that's whole. Even if you had some asparagus roll into the valley, it isn't going into your grill. Nothing is lost to the grill. So, but it's about an inch apart. They also come, the grates, all the sets we sell come with a really cool spatula. It's like a four-finger device that goes between the rails. So you can get right under that piece of fish without touching it and then lift straight up. So you know, so we have a great tool, as we call it, that comes with every set as well.
That sounds great.
That's
sorry, that was
word.
Too easy. So I can testify to this, Jop. I ran into this product years ago in Chicago at my buddy Danny Marguerite's shop called Backyard Barbecue. And he sold the heck out of these, and he sold me on them. I'm like, what is this? And he goes, it's a grill grate. You never use one? I'm like, right. No, I'm stupid.
Right.
But, the design of it is such that you do have these, kind of rails, he calls them, but they're grates that stick up, and then they're all formed at the bottom by troughs and trays with little slots periodically to let the juices drip out from here to there. But the thing is, most grills have hot spots. What I think the grill grate is best for is getting rid of hot spots. Am I wrong there?
Nope. It definitely helps there, too. They're made out of aluminum, which is hard anodized, which makes them harder than steel. But aluminum is super conductive. It was the first thing we ran electricity on years back. So, yes, hot spots are very common, particularly in gas grills, and, frankly, particularly in Kamados when they're run at high temperatures. Lump charcoal equals lumpy heat at high temps. So we'll really help smooth that out. So you can put 6-8 steaks on a grill, not have to move them around. They're coming to temp at all different timings, which makes it kind of tough. So you can put 6 steaks on a grill and just lift and twist and not move them at all, and they'll be within a degree or two of each other, evenly cooked, always cooked well and similarly, so you don't have a raw burger on one side and an overcooked burger on the other.
Well, I'll give up.
Even cooking is right. You're absolutely right. That's a major other benefit that grill grates deliver.
I'll give you a professional reference. Manufacturers that I know or used to know, several of them have gone to you to now just build their grate because, number one, you probably have a patent on yours, but number two, because it works better than just a wire rack.
You are quite right. We actually have 10 manufacturers that we sell to in the United States and 2 in Europe. So we have 12 grill manufacturers that buy from us as OEMs, and either we're standard on their grills or we're an accessory to their grills. But, yeah, we're real proud of that. That's something a lot of folks don't know. But a lot of the more innovative grill companies, the ones that have hatched in the last 10 years, you're absolutely right. They have looked for innovation as opposed to kind of, you know, not.
Right. I have a Grilla smoker, and I believe that's got your grates on it.
Grilla is a very good customer of ours. I've got a Grilla in my lobby that needs to get back on my deck. I really like their design, the innovative kind of lid that's on it that closes to the side. It's a very brilliant, very nice design. A good example of one of our grill customers that we enjoy.
Well, Brad, share with our listeners who some of those others are so if they're out looking at grills, they can see your product as well.
Absolutely. Yoder Smokers, Rectech, PK, Hasty Bake, 1948. Even companies like Slow and Sear overseas is a company called Gizzo, brand new tailgating portable grill that's just come out. Really slick. We make it for the Cobb Grill, another European manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I've left a few out, but
so Hasty Bake, that's a quite remarkable old piece of equipment that if you have one, you absolutely love it. And I would imagine that you solved a problem those had.
Absolutely. And a lot of Hasty Bake customers were buying our product. That got the attention of corporate. Next thing you know, I get to meet the Hasty Bake folks over in Tulsa, and and now they're a customer. We're an accessory to the Hasty
Bake. That's great.
But
that's awesome.
They become a great customer.
Brad Garrett, Grill Grates. Give us your website, and we got to check out.
Absolutely. Grillgrate.com. Pretty easy. Grillgrate, of course. Grillgrate.com.
Take it from me. This is a fantastic product, and best of luck to you, sir.
Appreciate that. Thank you for bringing me on your show today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Very good. Yeah, that's a cool product, and we didn't get to it, but you can buy those in multitude of sizes because he's done it specifically to make sure it fits on your grill.
Yep, just go to grillgrates.com.
Right, exactly. That's some man advice. It's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Today's man law, I absolutely love. I found it on an old Miller commercial, and it reminded me of a time I actually violated this law. There shall be no man leaving the game before it's done. just because you're down a bunch just to beat the traffic. My buddy used to have seats at the Big House, and we went for the Colorado game, Michigan-Colorado. And there was only, I'm going to say, 30 seconds left, and we were itching to get to the club afterwards. This right. was a long time ago. And because we'd stop halfway home when it was safe to get out of Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
And we just got outside of the Big House, and the place is roaring. This is when Michigan came back. Brian might remember this game, although it was 10 or 15 years ago. But Michigan came back in the last 3 seconds and beat Colorado by a point. Right. We didn't get to see it.
Right.
Never leave.
Because you wanted to get out early.
We violated man law.
There you go. You violate a little man law. But, you know, it's one of those things where your team, if they're up, sometimes you do that, but never when they're down.
Right.
Right? Because you those kind of things can happen.
But, so, and the Lions have been playing so well. I just want to give a shout-out to Honolulu Blue and Silver. They're just so
– they won their last game.
Yeah.
Anyway, coming up next, we're going to grill a little pork line the easy and tender way. Stick with us. We'll be back.
When we were strangers, I watched you from afar.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
This is Job from the Grillin' Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's garrettsappliances.com, garrettsappliances.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Welcome back. Here with the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the middle of October. It's the weekend, and we're going to be doing a little deer hunting this weekend, I got to believe. But if you don't have deer to put on your grill, one of the best things that you can do is a chunk of pork loin. Generally pretty affordable, pretty versatile piece of meat, and it feeds a lot of people for not a lot of money. So Barbecue Bob kind of has this perfected a couple ways, so let's talk about one of those.
Well, and I think you have a nice method that Squirrels 2 taught you on those.
Right, yep.
But before I do get into that, I just want to remind everybody, there's a place to get all your hunting needs. It's called Allen Bob's,
right.
And their new location's on south end of Grand Rapids, right on US 131 near M6. So I went down there and dumped
a buck and a half, got some new bolts, new broadheads. And,
I did too, yeah, right before yeah. I went deer hunting. That's right. What I wanted to say is I had to make my annual trip. They want us to come in and do another cookout for them for an ice fishing gig this winter.
Right. So but we aren't saying when fun. It is because we usually don't pull a health permit. No.
Thanks. That was great. So there's that. Yeah. But anyway, can we edit this, Brian?
Yeah. He doesn't want that on the air, Brian.
You didn't hit the cough button.
Right.
So, no, seriously, I went down there, and last year I bought one of these pop-up dog houses, and it's a square one made by Browning. I paid more than I paid for any of the other ones I had, but I just used it last weekend in the rain, and I also got one of these nice aluminum chairs on a swivel.
Ooh.
Dude.
That's money right there.
It was, yeah, the chair was pricey. It was like $300, but I'll tell you what, I've got a chair for life.
Right.
It's quiet. I can drop a leg when I want to draw my bow.
Right.
This doghouse is big enough that, you know, you could sit two people in there if you wanted to. My best girl wants to go with me once. It's okay. So
until you wound one, then she'll never go again.
Yeah, well, that could be. So pork,
could be? Come on.
So pork loin.
Yeah.
How do you do a pork loin? The thing that I love doing is cutting them up into 1-inch chops and taking my jacquard and pounding the ever-loving snot out of those. If you don't have a jacquard, then you might have a meat hammer. Mm-hmm. And take that hammer, or you could have a mushroom jar like Joppy does his right. breasts with.
Right. Something that's big and can knock it a little bit thinner.
Yeah.
The jacquard puts some holes in it.
Yep.
Meat hammer is going to just knock it thinner.
So I pound the heck out of it. I cover it with oil, pound it, flip it, cover it with oil, pound it, and then I put some seasoning on it, and I throw it on the grill, and they're beautifully grilled pork chops. And I don't know. I love a grilled pork chop. If you have a grill grate, it'll work even better because now you can put lots of oil on it and not get a flare-up. Those things really do work, dude.
Yeah.
You need a pair. Yep. I'll let you have mine.
Okay. Well, I'll borrow them because I'm not going to take them because I'll never hear the end of it. I used to have a pair of those grill grates.
You know what? Hey, when you're at your next class reunion, you can show those guys.
That's how that works. I tell you what.
I'll tell you what.
Couple seasonings. For pork, there's a Doc Chardin's and then another one called Gunpowder. And Gunpowder's a little spicy. This Doc's is a sweet barbecue. I get both of them at Sobey Meats over on the northwest side of Grand Rapids, my butcher. You mentioned Squirrels 2 Barbecue, one of our friends, a professional team, and they do a lot of catering. And he told me, he gave me his secret, was to mix those two spices 50-50, put it on the outside of a pork loin, a whole one, right? Or you could do it on your chops as well. Let it set for an hour to soak in a little bit and then just cook it off or grill it, whatever you do, smoke it. But that combination of that sweet and a little bit of the heat just puts a wonderful profile on that pork loin. You know, pork can be a little dry if you overcook it, so make sure you don't. You know, there's a fat cap on it.
145.
Right, there's a fat cap on it, but the meat itself is very lean.
So didn't he also tell you to wrap it for a half hour when he pulled it?
Yeah. Let it rest. Right. Absolutely.
Wrapped.
Yeah. Wrapped it so that it keeps the moisture that's in there. It almost steams itself.
Nice.
A little bit. Yeah.
Good tips, Jop.
So anyway, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. If you do get up in a tree and go deer hunting, just be careful out there, man.
Yeah.
Don't take a dive. You know, take it easy, and we hope you get your big buck.
Yeah, check us out on Facebook / The Grilling Guys. See ya! That very night, this cowboy.